In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. On Jordan's bank, the Baptist's cry announces that the Lord is nigh. Awake and hearken, for he brings glad tidings of the King of Kings. For those who inquire how one comes to enter the kingdom of God, the first lesson is to know, as the Catechism said, that the kingdom of God comes all by itself, without our prayers. That is, it's never as much about you coming into the kingdom as it is the king and the kingdom coming to you. When it comes to you, it comes bidding you to repent. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." When the word of the kingdom comes, it brings with it the challenge and the power to do what you cannot do on your own. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ or come to him. It is by the mighty word of God itself that a sinner first comes to repent of their sin and then to believe. Jesus said, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." But today, I'd like to ask whether repentance is a sad thing or is it a happy thing? I've never pondered before what sort of emotion was on display on the faces of those who came to be baptized by John. And I couldn't find a graphic for the cover that expresses that very well. Now, repentance consists in two things. First, contrition or sorrow over sin. The effect of God's law revealing our sin is a fearful thing, a sad thing. So were the people coming to John arriving with tears of despair over their sin and need? But the second part of repentance is faith. Faith in God who comes in grace with forgiveness of your sins. Our hymn of the day, which we sang as the entrance hymn today, calls the announcement of John not a sad thing, but glad tidings of the King of Kings. How is John's calling forth repentance at all a glad thing? I believe it is because true repentance is never either fear or faith alone, but both together. And so, I can imagine some, except of course the Pharisees and Sadducees who looked on skeptically, but maybe even most of the people were coming to John because they were expecting something good, something they needed that you can't find anywhere else, especially in the hubbub of the city. So we go out to the wilderness. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to John, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. It wasn't just a small representative group. They were from all over the place. It was all, says Matthew, all Judea and all the region about the Jordan going out to John. Today, we need to confess our sin and our need of God, and then to rejoice that there are glad tidings of the King of Kings. As we say in the psalm, "I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Now, as we said, such confession and faith is not in our power to perform. So it is first that the law of God reveals our sin and its consequences if left on its own. Yes, this is serious business. You ought to have noticed by now how in the divine service, as of first importance, that the confession and absolution of sins is not part of the divine service itself, but preparation for it. Indeed, corporate confession and absolution did not exist in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod until the late 1800s. Confessions of sins and holy absolution was always done privately, individually. We even still have a form or a liturgy for individual confession and absolution on page 292 of Lutheran Service Book. We're reminded that confession of sin is serious business. As the rubric suggests, quote, silence for reflection on God's word and for self-examination before the prayer of confession. It would seem that the more serious we are about it, the longer this silence for reflection may be. Upon what are we to reflect but God's word, especially the Ten Commandments? Think about it for a moment, right now. Just take the first and the fourth commandments. You shall have no other gods. In what or whom do you trust above all else? In what or whom do you trust for financial security, for physical safety, for emotional support? Do I fear God's wrath, avoiding every sin? If not, why not? Why should you? Honor your father and your mother. We know that this command means more than merely father and mother in the family, but all other authorities, such as teachers, employers, supervisors, governmental leaders, and pastors. Have you been angry, stubborn, or disrespectful toward those in authority? Do you obey all the laws of city, state, and country? Reflecting on only two of the Ten Commandments just took longer than we usually observe before the Sunday liturgy. Should you feel guilty for your sin? Yes, you should. Or else you have not allowed the law of God to do its part. That sense of guilt, despair, contrition, and sorrow is then what urges you to seek relief, to go out into the wilderness to John and release by running to the sure promise of your baptism, of God's grace, that is, the glad tidings of the King of Kings. And what are those glad tidings? I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, the fire of his love. Under the hand of blessing, the hand that once poured water over you, and not just plain water, but water included in God's command and combined with God's word, water, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, you receive the forgiveness of all your sins all along the way and ever renewed newness of life. Because this is the goal of John's preaching to repent. It is truly glad tidings of the King of Kings. Who is that King? First, he is the King of the Jews. At least that's how the sign read above his head on the cross. He is the shoot of the stump of Jesse, the righteous judge. But he's not the King of the Jews only. The righteous King of forgiveness stands as a signal for the peoples. Of him shall the nations inquire. As we heard St. Paul say, Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. Therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles. Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. The root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. Repentance and faith and salvation has been for the whole world from the very beginning, worked out and fulfilled among the Jews, but effective for all nations. For Jesus, the King, took not just the sin of the Jews, but the sin of the whole world upon himself on the cross, where his atoning death has paid the price to ransom us, to buy us back from the tyranny of sin, death, and the devil, to belong once again to God for a deathless existence of eternal life. In this repentance and faith, even death itself cannot anymore remove us from the life of living in the kingdom of God. All of this appeared on Jordan's bank when John the Baptist announced, "Awake and hearken to the glad tidings of the King of Kings." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.